Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host, and we are here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward. That's what Avanti means in Italian. That's what we're going to do today. And really, it's so that you all can reach your potential. I do this by interviewing Rochester business movers and shakers. Today, I have really a friend, a mentor. I've watched his meteoric rise for the past 22 years since I've known him. His name is Glenn William from one of the things he does is called Midtown Athletic Club. And that's a huge thing. But in our pre-talk, he just said it's only one of the things that he does. So we're going to talk about that. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Thanks, David. I appreciate being here. A lot of fun.
Really appreciate your time. I know that you're busy. I know that you're doing 1,000 things. I'm starting to think there's actually 3 of you, and there's 2 other Glenns that you've cloned. But Glenn, what I want to do is I want to read your bio quickly, and then we'll dig behind the curtain a little bit more. Sounds good?
Perfect.
All right. So Glenn's business background is rooted deeply in tennis, with a 40-year career managing clubs and teaching tennis. Glenn is a USPTA master professional, developed and coached juniors who won 21 national and international titles, including 37 USTA nationally ranked players. On the WTA Tour, he coached 5 tour professionals ranked in the top 50 in the world and served as a coach and player representative for 7 women on the WTA Tour. Since 1995, Glenn has been the general manager and partner of Midtown Athletic Club in Rochester, New York. He has led 4 club expansions totaling $25 million in capital, transitioning the club from an indoor tennis facility to the largest multi-purpose indoor and outdoor athletic club in New York. Glenn is a skilled marketer focused on customer service, communications, event management, and hospitality. Glenn has been at the core of Rochester-based charitable causes for 20 years. In 2015, Midtown Athletic Club in Rochester was recognized by the IHRSA as the recipient of its International Community Achievement Award for community giving and philanthropy. And Glenn also helps businesses and also talks to people, including some other podcasts that he's done, on early lessons on saving and entrepreneurship, college tennis into a business, a career in recreation with a personal lifestyle not compromised, career through tributaries, teaching coaching player management, event development, and Midtown blending profit with philanthropy. So truly a renaissance man, I'm going to have to say, because we haven't even talked about 80% of the things that you're doing. So you've got a lot going on. So Glenn, I started my first business back in 1995, Next Step Magazine. So same year you came here, and I remember meeting you here because I became a member back then, and it was a small tennis club, right? I mean, it was like, not a small tennis club, but it was pretty much...
It was a huge tennis club.
It was a huge tennis club.
We had 16 indoor courts. It was the biggest indoor tennis club in the state of New York at the time.
But it was just a tennis club for the most part.
It was just a tennis club. It was built in 72, and it enjoyed the years of tennis through its renaissance with Jimmy Connors and Chris Everett and John McEnroe. But in the late 80s, we found skateboarding, and we found soccer, and we found all other kinds of sports that competed with tennis. And tennis flattened out, and we needed to find other ways to be able to utilize all the square footage. So this is the first club, by the way, in the country that took an indoor tennis facility and added fitness.
Oh, really?
So this was Rochester, New York was the model for multi-purpose fitness clubs.
Yeah.
We did an experiment, lost a tennis court, much to the dismay of the tennis players, built a court, put all kinds of Nautilus equipment out there, and that began the national trend for converting tennis clubs into tennis with other athletic components to it.
Wow. So let's dig first into Midtown, because this people, if they know Glenn, if they know Midtown, they know Glenn and vice versa. So give us, since taking over that one tennis court and disappointing some members, what have you done since then with the club? If anybody that doesn't know about Midtown, give us the scoop.
Yeah, well, my vision and my company's vision for where we are today was founded just after 1995 when, in this community is very, very rich in country clubs and in golf clubs, you know, some of the golf capitals in the country. And it once had an incredibly rich background in tennis also. As tennis began to slowly move off the radar and golf was very much at the peak, I saw that I had a vision that with things moving with technology and people's time and seeing people starting to work from home and starting to work from libraries and coffee shops, that the day was going to come when people couldn't take 4.5 or 5 hours to play around the golf anymore. And that was a form of recreation that was not going to continue to grow, certainly wasn't going to grow. And I saw an opportunity where the advent of fitness and wellness and taking care of your body through multiple means of exercise had a tremendous potential wed with what a country club does really well, which is a social component. So I said to myself, how do we slowly lose tennis courts, add, at the time, treadmills, add group exercise, then yoga, then Pilates, then basketball? How do we create a multi-purpose facility that offers a multitude of amenities, but also focus very, very heavy emphasis on a social component? So if you look around Midtown, you'll see that there's 4 or 5 different areas, everything from a genuine Adirondack Lodge to a paddle hut that's 900 square feet to an area that's called a living room that looks just like your living room and my living room at home, this comfortable furniture. How do we create these spaces and components that provide for people being able to relax, to go to events, to socialize, and feel like it's comfortable, like it's a country club? The goal was build a country club without the golf course, without the white linen dining, and without a snob appeal.
Yeah, and you nailed it. You nailed it, because I hear a lot of people when they describe Midtown, and I have belonged, is it's the country club without being a country club.
Yeah, and that's really what we tried to establish, and you know, we've been very successful at it, and there's been other clubs now that have tried to copy our model.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and you didn't even mention outside. You have a beautiful pool area. I mean, it's literally like a country club pool area.
Right. We tried to build it like a resort.
Like a
resort, it's like a staycation, really, from that perspective. I mean, 5 outdoor pools, and during the summer we have palm trees around the property. You know, we try to kid people that they're in South Beach. You know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No. And I think people, they fall for it. So it's a great getaway. And so I have a friend. I won't mention his name, but he belongs to Oak Hill. And he belongs here. And he tells people all the time, I make more and better business connections at Midtown than I do at Oak Hill.
Well, there's 7,000 members here.
Is that right? 7,000?
Yeah. No, that's individuals. We have about 3,900 memberships.
Yeah.
But the vast bulk of the people who are movers and shakers in this community, because any country club in town can build a gorgeous athletic fitness facility. I mean, CCR has got a phenomenal fitness facility. What they don't have, and this is just only based on numbers, it's a numbers game, is they don't have the energy level that we have, because we have so many different people from so many different backgrounds, different ages, young, middle-aged, older people, mature people who have been successful in business. There's just tons of opportunity to make contacts here, you know, during all the hours that we're open.
Awesome. Hey, I'm talking to Glenn William from Midtown Athletic Club. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Join Fox News' Brian Kilmeade weekdays from 9 to noon on 1310 WOKR.
Hi, Dave Amano here, host of the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I'm here to tell you about a gem that we have here in Rochester, a gem that allows men to look impeccably dressed while not having to spend a fortune. The place is called Incognito Menswear, located right here in Penfield. They have a huge selection of pre-enjoyed quality menswear, as well as a great selection of new, up-to-date fashion items from jeans to modern fit suits. Another benefit of Incognito is that you can trade up. This means that you can trade up your own pre-enjoyed clothing and upgrade your wardrobe on the spot. So not only are their prices already amazing, you can save even more with their unique trade-up offers. Incognito is an amazing local company conveniently located at the Four Corners in Penfield. And get this, during November, they are offering a free pair of Enzo jeans incredibly fitting and updated designer jeans in a number of colors with any sport coat purchase. These jeans are normally $99. It's a great time to check out Incognito Menswear and Tuck Shop. Hey folks, Dave Momato here, host of Avanti Entrepreneur Radio. I'm here to welcome a new sponsor to my show. It's One Down Consulting. A friend of mine, Ron Willie, owns the company. And, you know, I look back at when I started in sales and I had a Rolodex and a phone. And we all have access today to the best sales and marketing technology. But most of us are not using it effectively. And let's face it, the companies that leverage technology will outmarket and outsell their competitors. If you need help with all of this technology to make sure you're maximizing your sales and marketing efforts with technology, then Ron Willie and One Down Consulting is your partner. They can really make sure that you are maximizing your sales and marketing technology strategy, your sales process, your marketing and sales alignment. They have implementation of tools for marketing automation, Salesforce automation, CRM, and so much more. I really encourage you to go to onedownconsulting.com to learn more and or just reach out to me and I'll connect you.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-368-5184. 800-368-5184. 800-368-5184. 800-368-5184.
Canandaigua's newest radio station, 1310 WOKR.
Welcome back. I am Dave Momano with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. You are listening to a great interview I'm having with Glenn William from Midtown Athletic Club. We're talking about how he took a very large tennis facility in 1995 and court by court, and you still have courts, but court by court kind of transformed it into a completely, I'll say, holistic athletic club with a pool, tons of workout equipment, Pilates, yoga, and really a social environment second to none in Rochester. And Glenn, so when I read your bio, I mean, it seems like your background is rooted in athletics, you know, specifically tennis and coaching. And lo and behold, you have this this business brilliance about you too that kind of came alive, right?
Well, I made a decision very early after going to grad school that I didn't want to be in a business where I had to wear a suit every day. Mm-hmm. I'd enjoyed recreation up to that point in time. In college, I owned a tennis management company, a country club management company during the summers. And I decided there had to be a niche for me to do something in recreation where I had a choice to be a chameleon, so to speak. I could put on a pair of tennis shoes. I could put on a suit. I could put a coat and tie on. I could put on a track suit. And depending upon the day and if I had a bank meeting or I was going to go on a court and teach tennis or have a club management meeting, I get a chance to do a lot of different things because I'm a poster child for ADHD and I pride myself on being a pretty good multitasker. So I wanted to do a lot of different things, and I've been fortunate that I've had a career that I've been where I was never really academically that bright. I mean, I was a rock solid C+ student. C's for me. C+.
Right. Yeah.
But I've always been able to navigate myself going down a river and being able to choose a tributary going off somewhere, fully knowing that tributary could always go back into the main river again, and had a lot of fun just piggybacking off one experience to another. You know, I was a tennis teacher, then I became a tennis coach, Then I was fortunate enough to have some of the students that I coach become world-class players, so I became a coach on the Women's Professional Tour. And coaching can be really boring when you're all over the world. You know, you got most of the day to do nothing but yourself. You're only coaching during a match or during a warm-up or during a practice. Then taking that to management, to managing athletes, because I didn't feel at the time there were very many people who really took personal pride and care managing people. They were working for big companies, and that led to an opportunity to start doing event development. I remember being at Wimbledon. It was my fourth year at Wimbledon, and you know you can't play till noon because the courts aren't dry enough. The grass isn't dry enough, and I started knocking on people's doors outside of Wimbledon on homes, asking people if the following year they wanted to lease their flat, whether it be a flat, a two-bedroom, one-bedroom house. To me, I'd get a 20% commission of whatever I could charge them for, and within 3 years I had a full blown accommodations business, only because it just seemed to make sense to do something other than sit down and sleep a few more hours because there was a need for that. So I've been very fortunate to piggyback many different experiences into some type of a business making venture.
So, Glenn, we're talking about, in my opinion, in you're humble. You didn't say this. I said it. I'm calling you a modern-day Renaissance man because you're also a writer. You also play guitar. And I'm just mentioning, I'm in your office. I'm looking at a guitar. I'm also looking at your magazine. How many athletic clubs have their own magazine? And not only like some schleppy piece. I mean, I've seen some clubs that have like more of an advertorial magazine.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, your magazine is like, it's beautiful. I mean, first of all, the look of it, it's a glossy, full-color, beautiful-looking magazine. And then I like it even better, being a magazine snob myself, because the content is fantastic. It's not, you're not just trying to schlep Midtown. You are trying to provide some great objective content to better the lives of your members. So tell us about the magazine. When did you start that, and how did that all come to be?
Well, we had a club program book that was kind of cut-and-paste clip art. And it wasn't anything any of us were proud of. And I came up with the idea of publishing a four-color magazine, but I wanted it to break even, which, you know, publishing is really difficult to be able to make money on. So I went to my first couple partners who have been partners with me for 15 years. I went to Mann's. I went to Cornell's. I went to some of the really high-end businesses, retailers, and I sold them advertising, and I told them, if they advertise in my magazine for a full page, not only would I have the benefit of reaching 6,000 people, but I would give them an opportunity to have visibility in the club through a trunk sale, through a jewelry sale, through some kind of show, through a member guest event. And what came about, and it was unbeknownst to me this was going to happen, but the added value visibility in the club in many advertisers' mind is more valuable than the ad in a magazine because they get to actually touch people, meet people, come face to face with people a number of times a year. And so the magazine grew from 16 pages then to 64 pages. Now it's an 80-page magazine. It doesn't break even. It makes a little bit of money. I've been sold out 13 out of the last 15 editions in advertising because I don't take any more than 40% advertising to the full content of the magazine. And I'm now started one in Chicago. I'm the publisher of our sister club, Midtown Athletic Club in Chicago, for their magazine. And it's something that can be duplicated and replicated, but it takes somebody like you or me who's not afraid to go out, knock on doors and say, hey, how are you? And we know we're going to get rejected and we know we're going to get some no's, but it just motivates us that much more to continue knocking on doors. So I love selling the advertising in this magazine. I believe so strongly in the club. I believe so strongly in our membership and in what we have to offer here and in the magazine being a successful marketing vehicle.
Yeah, and I'm with you too. I mean, as people that know me, you know, I had my own magazine for 18 years and I just started another magazine for business owners, and it's going to be very complimentary to yours. No competition here. It was called the Avanti Entrepreneur Magazine, and I'm selling ads again, just like you. And you're right. I mean, you have to be excited about selling ads because it is a tough business. But you have to say, okay, you know, the odds are 1 in 10 are going to say yes or maybe, and so you get 9 no's in a row instead of being bummed out. You get psyched because you're like, all right, odds are the next one's going to say yes.
Well, I'll be perfectly candid with you. When I started my magazine, the models that I looked at for what I hoped to achieve were, Next Step Magazine was your magazine,
yeah, thank you.
Was Rochester Magazine,
mm-hmm.
and the Holy Grail is Menu Magazine. You know, nobody's ever going to have that kind of paper and that text that
right.
a menu has. But yours was one of them, you know, you look for quality and you try to – look, everything you and I have done to some degree is we've been copying others.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that,
yeah.
particularly when you try to make it a little bit better or you try to put your own spin on it.
Learn from – model the behavior, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and so with another business I had when I opened up a retail center for college planning, that is one of my failing forward stories, and we all have them, and I'm proud of everyone. But I did advertise in your magazine, and actually it worked very well. I did get some business from it, but you're right. It was more than the ad. It was like you had me in to speak. You promoted me in the club. People saw, like, you have these, you know, these rotating monitors where my picture was and my ad was, and people saw that, and people would mention that to me. So, and I think, to your point, if you're going to survive in the print world today, it needs to be more than just the ad in the magazine.
Absolutely, yeah. Yep. I mean, print is difficult. Print is tough. I'm an outside board member of a printing company in Rochester, and mm-hmm. you know, printing used to be a very strong industry position for printing.
Yeah.
And printing's gone by the wayside. It's tough.
Oh yeah, yeah. I just about a week ago, I had Ray Brown from Canfield and Tech on my show. And
that's the board I'm on.
Oh, that's the board you're on, yeah. And so I got to tour their place. And that, I mean, the business started, it's like 100 years old almost, right?
Yep.
And they literally started out 100 years ago doing similar printing to like what Gutenberg was doing. And today Ray's telling me that they're, you know, they're certainly still doing the traditional printing that we know, but they're more of a digital partner.
Right.
And they're going to, you know, take the latest technologies out there and make sure that whatever you're printing is also going to take advantage of this whole digital world as well. And that's a big part of their role as a printing partner today, right?
Yep. They are really exceptional in that they don't compromise on their quality, and you can get cheaper somewhere, but you're not going to find anything better than Canfield and Tech.
Yep, that's great. Shameless plug, I love it. So you play guitar, and now last time we spoke, you know, I know you're in a band, and you were so obsessed with guitar, you were waking up, I think, like 3 in the morning.
Yeah,
to play.
I was going to bed at 8:30 at night and getting up at 3 in the morning and work, because I just picked up the guitar six years ago. But, you know, the funny thing was my dad grew up in an orphanage. He was one of 9 kids, and he gave me this gift of writing poetry. My dad wrote poetry my entire life, to me and to my sister. And so I stayed with writing poetry, and I wrote poetry, and English was one of my favorite classes, my favorite mm-hmm. subject. And once I started working on bass scales and understanding blues and rock and roll and music, I came to find that 90% of rock and roll and blues is what we call 1-4-5, first note, fourth note, fifth note, and it works perfectly with sonnets, and most of my poetry was in the form of sonnets. So for me to take writing poetry and to convey that to writing music and writing lyrics to 1-4-5 was relatively simple. So I've written dozens and dozens of pieces. There's 9 of my original pieces, my lyrics and the music on the CD for our band, Significant Other, based here in Rochester. And the band plays out 2 or 3 times a month, and we play the local juke joints. We play Dinosaur, and we play Sticky Lips, and we play Abilene, and we'll do the Beer Truck Festival and the Flower City Brew Festival, and we've had the good fortune to play Jazz Festival a couple times. We're going to play again in 2018. But, yeah, it's fun. I mean, very honestly, everything I've done with all these businesses and all these endeavors is all about fun. It's all about fun. You know, when I get up in the morning, I go out to have fun and drag as many people with me because it's just life's short and it should be enjoyable.
Absolutely. So I want to talk to you about what I perceive as a successful entrepreneur is not only successful in business but also health-wise. Right? You see some successful business people and you wonder if they're going to have a heart attack tomorrow.
Right.
So that's not complete success. You know, and then the third facet is family, right? I mean, are you successful with your relationships with family and friends?
Yeah, that's a great point, because my wife and I, talk about this. We talk about this often. We just celebrated 40 years of marriage, and I've got a I have a 31 and 30-year-old daughters who are both pregnant, and one's expecting in 2 weeks. The other's expecting in 5 or 6 weeks.
Your first grandkids.
Your first grandkids.
Well, all at once.
But I've never compromised lifestyle. I'm fortunate enough to have a summer place on Lake Michigan. I take care of myself. I work like a bat out of hell, but I play just as hard also. And taking time with the family throughout my career, you know, some of my bosses haven't been that excited about that maybe, but it's kept me fresh and kept me sane and kept me looking forward to the next new thing. And I've never compromised family time on my own personal time because if you're not happy, I think it's very difficult to make other people happy.
Yeah. Well, I'm Sicilian, and there's a Sicilian phrase that says, the fish rots from the head down.
Yes. So, right? I'm familiar with that. I thought, I'm Armenian. I thought that was an Armenian phrase.
Well, maybe we stole it, like everything else, right? So, yeah. And the Armenians probably invaded Sicily at one point, and we took it, you know? So. But conversely, so obviously, if the fish has a good head, there goes the rest of the organization as well. And obviously, that's where you are. So my big question for you is time management, because you're not only running a club, you've expanded it tremendously. You got the magazine going, you got Qatar, successful family, married 40 years, you're in great shape. So you're obviously not the shoemaker's daughter. You're also taking time to work out. How, you know, and I know you go to seminars. I mean, years ago, we kind of reconnected after a few years. You came to an EO event that I was speaking at, where the release of my book, Make Love in the Workplace. So you've always been a lifelong learner. And so you've got tremendous activity going on. Do you have a kind of instigative time management strategy, or are you just really good at it naturally?
You know, through years and years of spending a lot of time working too hard, and through maturity, I've learned that if you hire the right people, if you hire really good people, and you give them the time that they need to be able to grow and prosper, and you guide with at an arm's length, so you're not micromanaging, you're taking your time and you're spending with the key people who move your business rather than you trying to move it yourself. You know, there was a day when I tried to touch base with all the members. I'm only going to touch base with so many members.
7,000 now, right?
Where I should get better is that I should be spending more time with my leaders, with the people who are my department heads. My management team is 23 people. I have never, ever been in a business in any timeline where I've had as many talented people as I have right now who run this club. And I'll look anybody in the face. I don't run this club. I might be the figurehead, and I'd be the person that people associate with that. But my managers and my coordinators and my supervisors run this club. So the time management is taking the quality time to do the things that are most effective, not necessarily the time that you want to spend how you like to spend it the best.
Very good. Hey, I'm here with Glenn William from Midtown Athletic Club. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Weekday evening, 6 to 9, it's Chad Benson. Join Chad for refreshingly different commentary on today's news on WOKR.
Hi, Dave Amano here, host of the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I'm here to tell you about a gem that we have here in Rochester, a gem that allows men to look impeccably dressed while not having to spend a fortune. The place is called Incognito Menswear, located right here in Penfield. They have a huge selection of pre-enjoyed quality menswear, as well as a great selection of new, up-to-date fashion items from jeans to modern fit suits. Another benefit of Incognito is that you can trade up. This means that you can trade up your own pre-enjoyed clothing and upgrade your wardrobe on the spot. So not only are their prices already amazing, you can save even more with their unique trade-up offers. Incognito is an amazing local company conveniently located at the Four Corners in Penfield. And get this, during November, they are offering a free pair of Enzo jeans, incredibly fitting and updated designer jeans in a number of colors with any sport coat purchase. These jeans are normally $99. It's a great time to check out Incognito Menswear and Tuck Shop.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-219-8332. 800-219-8332. 800-219-8332. That's 800-219-8332.
Boy, man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy, whew. I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the Tax Doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the Tax Doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-989-1694. 800-989-1694. 800-989-1694. Again, 800-989-1694.
Innovative Talk Radio, 1310 WOKR.
Okay, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host. I'm here with Glenn William from Midtown Athletic Club, the largest athletic club for sure in Rochester, if not the whole state.
Can I say it in New York, yeah.
Yep. Can I say it in New York?
Yep.
And obviously, I think it's going to be one of the top of the country, too. So, and when Glenn took this over in 1995, it was purely a tennis club. How many courts back in the day?
16.
16 courts. How many courts today?
Now we have 9 indoor.
9 indoor courts. And a lot of those courts have become, everything basketball court, Nautilus, et cetera, right?
Pilates, yoga, yeah, I mean it's the whole gamut of boxing, cycling. It's a full service club. I mean, and yesterday, interesting, was I played pickleball for the first time.
What's pickleball?
Pickleball is a form of tennis that takes a short racket like paddle tennis with a wiffle ball, and you play it on the court that's the size of a paddle tennis court. It is the fastest growing racket sports program in the country. And I've always turned my nose up to it because it's not purist like tennis is. Mm-hmm. But it is growing so fast. Rochester has the second greatest density of pickleball courts in the nation per capita. There's 125 pickleball courts in Rochester. And I've had more and more people trying to convince me we should do pickleball. So I played it yesterday for the first time. I had so much fun at it.
Yeah.
It's something that a person like myself who's 65 years old with two knee replacements and two hip replacements playing doubles can still get around on the court. I don't have to cover the territory I do in tennis. So, you know, we're now taking a real hard look into pickleball. So you've got to continually look to see, you know, what's on the horizon and whether it's stealing an idea from somebody else or following a trend or coming up and trying something, you know, on your own. You know, nutty things like Lollipop Farm is a partner of ours, an advertising partner. And when they came to us and they said, okay, so Glenn, now what do we do for the value-added event at the club? Mm-hmm. We came up with an idea to have a program called Pups and Pilsners. Mm-hmm. It's craft beer tasting when you bring your dog.
Yeah, it's a social event for the
owners. It's a social event. So we go out to the Great Lawn, and we have all kinds of different beers out there, and people got their dogs on a leash, and the dogs are sniffing each other, and the people are having conversations, and they're drinking beer. And I thought, well, maybe we'll get 20 or 30 people. We got 80 dogs and members out there. It was fabulous.
Yeah, yeah, and it raised money for Lollipop.
So, you know, that's another component of something that I think I'm really one of the most proud of with this club is that I worked for 17 years for a 501c3, and I get philanthropy and I get charitable. That whole part of our world, of our mission, and we typically wed a not-for-profit or a charitable organization with all of our events. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for the 23 years that I've been here. We've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for Tour de Cure, tens and tens of thousands of dollars for the Equa Center, for Bavona, for Al Siegel Center. And I think the one thing that we're most proud of here is that in 2015, IHRSA, who you'd mentioned, the International Health and Racket Sport Association, which is the association for 80,000 clubs worldwide,
wow,
chose Rochester Midtown Athletic Club as the recipient of their Outstanding Community Service Award.
Out of 80,000
clubs?
Out
of all the clubs in the world. I traveled out to L.A. to the international conference with 7,000 people there and stood up on a stage humble and nervous,
mm-hmm,
and accepted this award for being recognized as the single most philanthropic club in the world.
Wow.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, on top of growing, I mean, and everything else that you're doing, to have that as a key focus along the way.
Well, you know, but that's part of Rochester's culture, too, because Rochester's had the most incredible history of philanthropy from George Eastman,
yeah,
you know, onward down. I mean, this is at one point in time, not many years ago, the most philanthropic community in the United States, person by person, per capita.
Right.
And there's still a lot of that here. So, we're trying to follow in the great footsteps of the people before us here in Rochester, and that award was really was magnificent.
Yeah, crowning achievement. So good for you. So one of the things that you do, you know, I'm looking at some of the themes that you help people with, and it seems like you share your journey when it comes to saving and entrepreneurship, and I imagine that kind of goes hand in hand. Can you talk a little bit about
that? Yeah, I alluded to the fact that my dad grew up in an orphanage.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I was 12 years old. My first job was as an entrepreneur was when I was 12 years old. And I was walking to my buddy's house, and as I'm walking down the street, I'm seeing the house numbers on the curb in black.
Mm.
And then I saw that there were a couple that didn't have house numbers and a couple more in black. And I thought, boy, everybody should have a house number on the curb because it's hard to see them in the mailbox or up by the door. So I went out and I bought a can of spray paint and I bought the stencils and I started knocking on doors. And again, like we said, I got more no's and yeses, but I got a couple done and it was, I got 50 cents a black curb.
Yeah.
And then I started realizing, boy, you know, if I knock on the doors around dinner time, this is during the summer, the dad just wants to get rid of you. I'll give you 50 cents just to get rid of you because I'm interrupting
I'm hungry,
dinner.
I'm having my beer.
And so I started doing more and more numbers. And then I came up with this idea, well, what if I painted the background a fluorescent yellow and put the black on the fluorescent yellow?
Yeah.
And so I had a basic charge of 50 cents, but I had $1.10 for the upsell for the fluorescent yellow.
Supersize their order.
And then I learned how to take rejection. People would say no, and I'd shake my head. I said, well, you know, everybody else in the block, else in the block's getting theirs done. So I was making really good money by the time I was 13 years old with my street number on the curb deal.
Right, that's great. You know, we have similar stories as kids. I just did a new keynote called "If You Don't Like the Game, Change the Rules."
Right,
and that's what you did, right? So, and I open up with a story similar. I say, imagine, you know, Rochester, New York, in February. What do you think of? Everybody says snow. I said, so the 6-year-old boy went out to shovel some driveways, and you know, knock on doors, nice people, one by one. Oh, my son does it. My daughter does it. My husband does it. We have a plow service. So this boy, obviously, turns out to be me. Walks home dejected, all of a sudden stops in his snow tracks because he has an idea to change the rules. He goes to the next street, shovels the driveway first because realizes he's a cute little 6-year-old kid, right? Then rings the doorbell and then, you know, holds the shovel a certain way, tilts his head a certain way and says, hi, I'm David. I just shoveled your driveway. You know, $1, $5, $10. Who's going to say no, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. One guy said no, and I remember him, and he got fired from Xerox 6 months later. And and I said, karma, right? not that I was bitter, right? So I guess you were destined to be an entrepreneur from an early age, right? So that's great.
Well, my dad didn't have an education, and I grew up seeing him earn two and spend three, mm-hmm. not because he had a lot of things to spend money on, because he sold carpeting and he sold furniture, yeah. but he didn't have to manage his money. Mm-hmm. And at a very young age, because there were things that I wanted to have
yeah.
that he couldn't have, mm-hmm. I kind of made him the anti of what I would do as far as savings. So anything yeah. he did as far as savings and money management, I decided if I did a different yeah. did something different, I was probably going to be able to succeed.
Yeah.
And then I had the very good fortune of being the houseboy for United States Senator at a young age and mm-hmm. for his brother. And both of these guys from New Jersey mentored me and took me under their wing. And I learned a lot about business and about business practices that could apply to anything, anything in life. And I try to give that back with young people today. I have a handful mm-hmm. of people who I don't have a program, but just who I picked out because there was a need yeah. and work with them and coach them and help to give them some life lessons, because I've been just blessed with very, very generous people that have done that with me my entire life.
That's great. So I work with a lot of younger entrepreneurs, and I was just at an event a couple of weeks ago. The Rochester Young Professionals had this huge entrepreneurial expo that was great. It was at the new Metropolitan Building, yep. which is the old Chase Tower. And so much great entrepreneurial activity going on, especially with young people. But like I was when I was 25, you think you know what you're doing, but really you have no clue. If you were, to be able to give some tips to young entrepreneurs just starting out, what would be some of the top lessons that you would share with them?
I would start with, don't let whatever your formal education hold you back or intimidate you if you don't have an MBA. An MBA isn't for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I've coached people who were entrepreneurs who really need to take that next step first before they went and got a formal education. Get your feet wet in the business.
Right.
Try it. Seek advice and help from people who have been around the block, who have been successful. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you the number of people who have knocked on my doors kind of sheepishly and said, I have an idea, I have a thought, and I just get the biggest smile on my face, because mm-hmm. if it's not me that can't make an impression, there's so many of the people I can direct them to.
Yeah.
So go out and invest in people who have been around a block and succeeded. I know what I told my daughters when they both graduated from college and they got their first jobs. I told them the most important thing is not your job and your first job. It's not the money. It's not where you're going to live. It's not even the industry. Find a position and find a job where you're going to be mentored by somebody. Mm-hmm. Find a position where somebody's going to take you under their wing. Somebody's going to help you. Somebody's going to care for you. Somebody's going to show you the ropes. Because the odds of you staying in that job any more than a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years is very, very unlikely. And what you need to have is you need further leadership in the form of informal coaching and informal education more than necessarily formal education.
Okay, great. That's great. So that's great that you're giving back and you're helping people. So, and I think that's the thing about Rochester, I think, is probably pretty unique to our town, our city, is that you do it without expectation back. You just want to help people, and I find that very prevalent in Rochester.
Well, that's the ethic I'm talking about. That's philanthropy, isn't it? That
right.
defines philanthropy.
Yeah.
Philanthropy isn't about giving money; it's about giving, and yep. whether it's giving time, money, care, yep.
time, talent, treasure, as they say now, right?
Absolutely. And yeah. and this community is grounded in that. Unlike, I grew up in New York City. Mm. I've been all over the world through tennis at big cities. Mm. I speak the virtues of this town all the time. Yeah, it's a second tier, third tier town, but it's the greatest place in the world to live.
Yeah. I interviewed Bob Duffy a couple of weeks ago, and Bob said, whenever he was whenever he's involved with a business trying to recruit people to Rochester, he said it's the hardest to recruit outside people too, because right. they have that dumb impression that it's snowing all the time. But then once they're here, it's the hardest place to get them to leave.
Yeah,
like you, right?
Yes.
You realize how great it is.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Strategically, 3 years ago, we started a new membership type here. It's called a young adult. And it's priced significantly lower than an individual membership. And it's for the 22 to 26-year-olds. Now, the good news about that is you get these young kids to taste the club to see what it's like. But a lot of them kind of reach beyond their financial expectation at that point in time. Some of them go into bad debt. Some of them have to quit because they bit off more than they can chew.
Yeah.
My goal with these kids is for them to have a fantastic experience here at the club for the time they're here. I don't have an expectation they're going to be here for 4 or 5 years, but I do know this. I know that they go off and they go to get a graduate degree somewhere. I know they take an internship somewhere. I know they go to work in New York City or LA or Chicago, whatever. But they come back to Rochester.
Yeah.
And if you provide a great experience for them when they're here, when they're young, I know they're going to come back and they're going to be individual members. They're going to be full-time members because my two kids living in Chicago right now, when I talk about them possibly coming back to Rochester, they nod their head and they say, great place to bring up a family.
Yeah. So now that they have kids, who knows, right? They might be coming back after them.
Yeah, they could be. Yep.
Yeah, that's great. So, Glenn, this has been super fantastic. Really want to thank you and congratulations on your massive success. You're really a great Rochester success story. I'm on the Junior Achievement Board, and we do the Hall of Fame every year. So I'm going to nominate you.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, it really is what is kind of super cool about you, too, is you're not looking for the spotlight. You're not screaming, look at me. You're just doing all this great work and kind of behind. I mean, you're not shy, but you're not like yelling your accomplishments. It's definitely behind the scenes. You're doing so many great things for our community. So thank you for that. Really appreciate
David.
It. And every time I drive on the expressway and I see this place and it gets bigger and bigger and better looking, it's proud. It's a proud gem of Rochester. There's no doubt.
No, thank you.
Really appreciate what you're doing. So if people want to get in touch with you, if they want to join the club or get a tour, or they just want to meet with you and pick your brain a little bit,
sure.
What's the best way to do
Glenn.William@midtown.com. Real simple. Right. Glenn with two N's dot William without an S at midtown.com.
Excellent. Well, Glenn, thank you so much. And we'll look forward to your next 22 years here to see what you're going to do.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun. I'm loving life.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I'm looking forward to see. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do next. Maybe you don't either. But
well, I have these 14 acres over here at Domini. You know the old Domini cement plant over here yet.
So what's? Can you give us a little tease?
I can't tell you that
stay
yet.
Stay tuned. That's awesome. So, well, thanks again, Glenn. Appreciate it. We'll have you on the show again when you could start telling us what's going to happen over there.
Be honored. Terrific. Thanks,
excellent.
David.
And thank you, Avanti Entrepreneur listeners. Appreciate you listening to our show. And if you or someone you know would like to be considered to be on the Avanti Entrepreneur Show, please send me an email at david@davidmamano.com. And that's M-A-M-M-A-N-O. I have Glenn William today on the show from Midtown Athletic Club. Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it. And we'll be back tomorrow with another great show.
Thanks, David. It's been a privilege.
Innovative Talk Radio, 1310 WOKR.